Where's your mic, Sim?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm prepared for a second. I love seeing you relaxed.
Well, I'm sort of relaxed. We're in my bedroom because there's a sewage leak downstairs. Did we already talk about that? Anyway, that's always
fun. Well, I experienced it yesterday.
Yeah.
I almost had to go pee in the porta potty.
I know. What would that have been like for you?
I go to football games all the time. So, well, you know what? The worst is when you go into a porta potty and then there's something disgusting inside.
I was at Coachella once and I went into the porta and there was a massive line. The porta potty opened and it was like smeared with poop.
What'd you do?
I went pee.
Did you close your nose?
Yeah, I had to go for so long. I went pee and I was just praying that nobody recognized me, the next person that went in there. And like, I was just hoping that they did not think that I smeared my feces.
That's always the thing. Someone walking in next, they're going to immediately assume it's you.
Do you think that Coachella will ever be our sponsor?
Not after you fucking smeared shit all over the toilet.
That was the last time I went to Coachella. It was traumatizing. But then I saw Radiohead and that was awesome. Anyway, whatever.
I want to go to Coachella with you.
You and I would be the worst at Coachella. We would get lost immediately and we'd be complaining about like why we couldn't like get a beer because the line's too long.
We do have to talk about some feedback.
Yay, ad reads. Oh, no. Feedback. Yay.
We'll get to that in a second.
Dear listeners, it's 10 a.m. Sim is over here. There's construction happening. There's a sewage leak. I guess life is better than some other people's lives, say, in Syria. But here we are, and Sim is, well, I always adore seeing him. It's a little rough this morning. I'm sorry, Sim.
Well, I drove an hour and a half in the traffic.
Oh, fuck you. You probably didn't drive. Did you take an Uber?
No, I didn't. I actually drove.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So, do you remember Carly from last week? We called her. It was during the Moshe and Natasha episode. And she's been friends with this guy for 10 years. They both had feelings for each other at various points. And she feels more comfortable with him than anyone else. And she was deciding if she should confess her feelings. Natasha immediately advised Carly to wait to bring it up. Moshe and I strongly disagreed, and he argued that when people have one-of-a-kind relationships for a while, they can get stuck in that place, and even though both parties may be wanting more, neither will come forward. Love takes courage, and that someone has to make that leap. And you told Carly not to get caught up in all the nostalgia and to heavily factor the fact that they don't live in the same area into her decision. So
was that wrong?
No, I think you were right. I mean, I also, afterwards, I said that Carly should definitely tell the guy and that there's no risk for her. Do you want to hear about what some of our listeners have said?
Yes.
So, you know, we get a lot of feedback from people who which we love. And we had a lot of feedback from people who had the courage to actually talk about their feelings. And now they're in happy, happy relationships. Well, first, I'm going to give you a different perspective. Not as happy. But this is from Michael, one of our male listeners in Austin. He wrote, over a year ago, I was in a similar situation with a close, longtime friend. One night, with a little help from a bottle of wine, fish tacos, and a great conversation, we started kissing. It was a bit of a surprise to both of us, as we never saw each other in a different light for such a long time. As great as it was, we both knew the next morning that we just didn't have it. We had open dialogue for the next few days and weeks. As time went on, we actually grew closer than ever as great friends. She is currently seeing, from what I see so far, a really great guy that fits her better than I ever could. With Anna and Sim's past advice about opposite sex friendship, I told her that I want to make sure he is comfortable with me as a friend of hers. I am hoping us two guys can hang out soon, minus me telling him I once made out with his girlfriend. As my advice goes, take the risk and have open communication. It didn't work out for my friend and I, yet I'm very happy that it happened. I think he means the hookup. If he is a good man, he will show his character with the ability to remain friends past the awkwardness if it goes that route. If you are still having doubts, go back and listen to the Kristen Chenoweth episode. The caller was in the same situation as you, and Kristen gave great advice. So best of luck, Carly. Thank you, Anna and Sim, for everything you all do. I've been listening since Anna made an appearance on the ESPN Fantasy Focus a couple of years back. Shout out to Matthew Berry. The heartfelt advice has touched my inner core. He goes on to talk about how great we are, blah, blah, blah. I love when they do that.
That's so kind.
It's great. But love you all. I like our male listeners.
Thank you. That sounds so mature. So
it does.
And thank you so much for listening and for your feedback. We really do appreciate it.
So here's a happy ending. This is from Lindsay. I just finished listening to episode 125. And I wanted to share some feedback regarding your caller, Carly. Carly's story hit home for me. I moved to a new high school when I was 15 and met a guy who, through the years, became one of my favorite people and best friends. When high school ended, we both went to different colleges 6 hours apart, but kept in touch almost daily. There were definite feelings, but I always hesitated saying anything because we were so far apart geographically, and I didn't want to ruin our friendship. Then, one weekend, we were both home from school, and he ended up kissing me. We spent an amazing weekend together, but neither one of us said anything about how we felt. I tried to chalk it up to a fun weekend, and we both went back to school. We started talking on the phone daily, and my feelings continued to grow. I kept hoping he would tell me that he had feelings for me, but almost 2 weeks went by and nothing happened. I got to the point where I couldn't deny my feelings anymore, and I finally realized that I would rather risk it not working out, getting rejected, and or ruining the friendship versus not saying anything and always wondering what could have been. I finally got the courage and told him how I felt. Fast forward, and I am happy to report that we have been happily married for almost 9 years and have a beautiful son. If Carly truly likes this guy, I think she should take the risk and tell him how she feels. My experience taught me the importance of being vulnerable and asking for what I want in life. Who knows? This guy may feel exactly the same way she does and is scared for the same reasons she is. Especially as women, we should feel empowered to take more risks and create the life we want. Thank you, Anna and Sim, for an amazing podcast. I've been listening from the very beginning and look forward to it every week. You are the best, and I love you. Much love, Lindsay.
I love you, too. Thank you. That's amazing. And congratulations for being courageous. And I'm so happy for your wonderful marriage and beautiful child.
All right, no more delaying. Let's just get to Logan Browning right now.
I have a theory that's like that a lot of actors are pretty kind of shy introverts, actually.
And yeah,
that's sort of why like we started this podcast a little bit, because it felt like a way for me to interact with people outside of the industry and also not like, you know, being filmed and mm-hmm. whatever. And yeah,
that makes sense. No, I feel that. I think I've always, like, growing up, I thought I was an extrovert because I was always really friendly and outgoing, but I realized I do get really like socially confused in terms of like when I'm in like yesterday I was at this really dope brunch. Ciroc and Variety put it on. It's for like women empowerment. It was this whole awards thing. Super cool. But I just felt like there was this way I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, like, I was like, am I pulling it off? Like, am I doing it?
Right. And you're also surrounded by like people that you know and admire, and you mm-hmm. feel like we're all in the same club, but you don't know them.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I like your work. You look amazing or whatever. I feel like you're always at those events, like looking for your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, there's this feeling of like undercurrent of like, are we in the same club?
Yeah.
I a part of this
do
club?
We all belong
I don't
in this,
know.
Are there tears
I
to this
do.
Club? What tier do I belong
you
in?
Totally.
luckily for me, this event had you like bring, they had you seat your table. So fill your table. So I got to fill it with all people I knew.
Oh, that's nice.
Also was difficult because they were like 9 people. And I was like, how do I know 9 people? Like, how do I fill this table? But it was really nice because I was not sitting with strangers.
What did they serve at brunch? I always feel like brunch food is the lamest.
I like brunch food, but I think it was good. I just didn't really eat it.
What would be your favorite breakfast brunch food then?
Have you ever been to Blue Jam Cafe on Melrose?
No.
There's a couple. It's a chain, I think.
I have, yes.
Yeah. They have this French toast that's like dipped in like a crunchy cereal.
Ooh.
And then they
so
good.
Crispy. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, I was just getting enthusiastic. Clearly, I'm hungry.
And there's and they don't use syrup. They use this like vanilla drizzle. That's ideal for me.
Oh, all right. Are you Eggs Benedict-y?
That's what they had at the brunch.
And so you weren't. Haig's Benedict to you.
I am. It just, what was it about the, it was difficult to cut.
You can't do like a mass service of Haig's Benedict. It has to be like freshly assembled and then presented to you.
Well, because of the poached eggs.
Did you know you can poach apples? I didn't realize you could poach other things other than eggs.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can poach apples.
And then you make applesauce?
The guy was making, I was at a bakery and he was poaching apples for German pancakes that had like apples on it.
Who's this guy?
He's at La Brea Bakery.
Oh yeah. All right. I'm not going to grill you on your love life unless you want me
That's
to.
That's it. It's food.
All right. Okay, but wait, speaking of that though, I don't know if you are single and I will only inquire until after we record, and then maybe I won't even because I'll try to be polite. But
you're so sweet.
I'm really sweet. I'm known for my sweet.
I love it.
I'm just like that little syrup that's drizzled over the French.
You really are. Are you from the South?
I am. I'm from Seattle, north of Seattle. And yeah, I've actually, this is like the what LA has done to me. I used to be very, very bitter and angry. I still am. I have an undercurrent of that, but we can get into that later. But okay, so these would be deal breakers for a dude, right?
Okay.
Okay. Every single toiletry in his house was taken from a hotel room.
That's a bad thing.
Listen, this is you.
Oh.
I'm not here to like pass judgment.
Well, I mean.
Because I take them.
I do too. I go up to especially there's a hotel I really like in New York and I like that they use Le Labo's fragrances. And so I always go and I get 5 of their.
What hotel?
The Edition.
Oh, I gotta go there.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
All right.
As long as they were really like good hotel products.
Okay, but I wouldn't care. Every single.
Like, if they travel for a living and it doesn't make sense to buy full tubes of toothpaste.
I am so like waste not, want not, and I didn't grow up going to like nice hotels, so I can be very greedy. Well, it's not even greedy, right? It is. Is there a controversy if it's like a gift that the hotel gives you, or if it's
I think you can take anything they put out there, but I don't think you can go and like raid the maid that's going through.
Oh, I do.
What, really?
Yeah.
You raid the maid's cart?
I've taken a bottle of water off of the cart before.
Have you ever taken like nice. Toiletries off the cart?
Yeah. What are you?
That's fucking awesome.
If I like them, see, this is the thing. I don't often like the hotel products. They're usually really drying. I don't yes. like the smell. They're too lemony. They smell like cleaner. So when they're good, I take them. But I don't know what you guys are envisioning, because I'm envisioning this like, this very like, he's very minimal and he's still very put together. And I don't know. I'm not picturing like some slob that doesn't want to buy things.
Okay. Well, let's say he uses like the shower gel to also like do his dishes.
Okay.
But he's...
That's a different guy.
But he's...
Is it the same guy? Okay, it's the same guy.
But he's really like, I just don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste anything. And
well,
it does the same
work?
Thing.
I mean,
it totally works. Yeah, he's doing the dishes.
Well, maybe I'm there to learn. Maybe there's something for me to learn.
I love this. All right. Okay. Whenever you text him, he only sends an emoji response.
Maybe there's something wrong with me today, because I don't think this is awful, but I think it's just something wrong with me right now. I think I actually would be upset about that. But I also think that you can really express yourself with emojis.
But are you...
emojis and GIFs. I wouldn't be mad if there were emojis and GIF. Do you say GIF or GIF?
Anna doesn't know what a GIF is.
Okay.
You have to explain to
I
her.
I think it's like a really short video of something, like somebody doing something odd.
Close.
Yeah, pretty yeah. much. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks. You've seen
Thanks
one.
Him.
You've seen them before.
That's yeah.
Okay, but what if, like, are you a phone talk? Like, do you talk on the phone?
I like voice notes.
Okay, I don't know what that is either.
It's like... In your message.
41, did I tell you that? I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to come all the way over here.
Do you have the same phone
from
I
the
do.
Mirror. They work the same.
I also have 102 unread text messages right now.
No.
I know.
But this will change your life, though.
If
honestly.
You do voice notes,
you would love it.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Tell her what it
is. Okay, so there, yeah. So voice note is when you're recording. You don't have to send a long text message with your thumbs. You can just hold one thumb down and say what you need to say, let it go, and it sends it to the person. It's literally like leaving a voicemail, but you can go back and forth and back and forth.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Okay, but it's like a walkie-talkie.
But auto-dictation.
I love this education.
Have you tried auto-dictation?
No, oh, yeah. Sim, come on. We can't get onto this like tech talk with Sim. I want to know, do you talk on the phone though? Like if you're dating somebody, like, because I don't know, that's how I sort of, you know, I grew up like before. Yeah. Oh my God. Do you remember like before call waiting? You might not, but yeah, it was like my brother and I were constantly fighting
for the phone.
Yeah.
I boys had to call my house in a specific way. They had to say, "Hello, Dr. Browning. This is so-and-so. May I please speak with Logan?" And then my dad would sometimes say no for no good reason. Or he'd say, yeah, my dad would say yes to the, like, the really nerdy guys that I didn't like.
Yeah.
He's like, Logan, so-and-so wants to speak to you. I don't want to talk to them, Dad.
Yeah, well, Dr. Browning probably has really good taste.
Yeah, he does. He did. Did you have to do?
No, I mean, no guys really called me. In fact, guys didn't call me. This was my strategy. I would leave the phone, like if I thought a guy might call me, I would leave the phone off the hook because I just couldn't bear it if I didn't get the phone call. I know. So I would just like, and then my mom would be like, "Why is the phone off the hook?" I'd be like, when she picked it up in the other room. I know
this is really sad.
Well, I was managing my expectations.
So what did you do if you went to school the next day and you were like, someone was like, "I tried to call you."
No.
And it didn't happen.
That never happened.
Oh, okay.
Listen. I knew my social status.
I want to meet young Anna.
She had headgear.
That's really cute.
Thanks. Well, I wish she would have been my friend back then. Okay, so he runs an Etsy store for his homemade dolls.
His homemade.
He makes homemade dolls,
like dolls of like you know, like babies. Are they like Barbies, like grown women? Are they?
It's all across the board. Okay. He makes entire families. They all have removable heads,
as they should.
And it's a side business.
You know, I'm all about a hustle, and I'm all about a side hustle.
All right, because I would be into it too, because I like morbid things.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure she's into it.
Sorry. you might be right. Sorry, I may have jumped the gun on that one.
I don't know. I don't. I mean, I think I'd be very curious. I'd have a lot of questions, like why dolls specifically? Like, is it like why all dolls? Like, maybe there's this really cool history, you know. Or maybe there's this really strange obsession with like women as figurines and needing to be perfect. And then maybe I wouldn't want to be with him because he has like this strange obsession and expectation of me.
Nope. It's all genders, all different sizes, like all across the board. It's just, I think what he was thinking is that he wrestles with his own mortality. And this is his way of sort of dealing with his fear of death.
Do you know this guy?
I am this guy.
Oh.
Do you want to buy one of my dolls, Logan?
I would love to.
Totally give you a celebrity discount.
Thank you. What is that?
Oh, it's 20% off.
Yeah, that's a really great deal. What, like 1,000? Are you like selling these dolls for some like obscene amount?
Okay, he's a personal trainer.
It's funny when I have a lot of girlfriends who get into the personal trainers, and I don't personally get it. I like for guys to be fit, but I don't. I'm not drawn to like muscles and like. I'm into a lifestyle. I'm into people having that really healthy lifestyle, but.
So what are you drawn to? And then I'm going to get back to personal training, you think. But, but yeah, but what are you into?
I like very smart. I'm into being challenged. I like people who challenge me, but who also, it's weird that I'm into people who know how to disarm me. Like I can put up a guard. So when I meet someone who innately knows how to like take that down, I'm into it.
Yeah.
That's
I like
selfish
that.
Kind
no,
of.
No, 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 because I think that like as women and in our town, in our industry, there is like everyone's, I love creative people, but you do recognize like when someone's trying to, when someone has an angle mm-hmm. and you can pick up on it pretty quickly mm-hmm. after a while. And it does feel like, oh, you're underestimating me. So it is always interesting when somebody doesn't do that, you know, is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm really open. Like, I don't know if I'm really drawn to anything. I think when it's in front of me, that's when I know. I don't feel like I'm necessarily like,
is there somebody in a profession that you wouldn't date?
It's been a rule of mine. I've been trying to like break it because I live in this town and in this society, but or this industry. But I never date actors or entertainers or athletes. And I've been open to people who fall under that category because of the fact that I've been so adamant about not. I prefer like the engineer, the tech minds, the finance. Like I guess I am drawn to that.
I at the top of my list has always been magicians because I don't understand somebody who wants to kind of freak you out without telling you their secrets.
Wait, at the top of the list of things you wouldn't want.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's much better.
It would be
like, I make headless dolls and I love
magicians.
You're like, cut me in half. Can I get out of here as soon as possible? Where's my horse? but it's funny. Like I have this big long list of like people and professions that I always feel like are red flags, but I also feel like those are also very intriguing things to me as
yeah.
well. But like, athletes was, I think, number 4 on my list.
What is 2 and 3?
Oh, well, number 1, it shifted actually from magicians to unemployed video game designer.
Wait.
Or wannabe video game designer.
So he's not really good at it.
No, he lives with his parents. Smokes a lot of weed.
No, yeah, no. He sounds 17.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And he's 17.
Legal, so.
No, number 3 was athlete.
Stand-up comics? Wasn't that on the list?
Yeah.
Really?
Also, chefs.
The chefs, that one makes sense to me.
Oh, I don't. Explain the chefs to me.
I will. But athletes, it's not just because of like the cheat, like the whatever we perceive as what we think an athlete's life is, but I feel like I would be really exhausted trying to be emotionally supportive to like, you know, like, oh, it's okay that you lost. It's not that big of a deal. Like,
oh, I didn't think about that.
Like, we, like you guys, like, yeah, I know that rookie like came in, but I bet he's going to injure his knee. And like professions with so much, you know, with so much pressure, a partner that can give emotional support constantly is kind of required. And I just don't know if I can do that. I'm too selfish.
Do you feel like you need that? Because I feel like I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone needs it to a degree, of course, but I just don't know if it would be a right fit. But chefs.
Yeah, think what's about, the chef?
Okay. Mean? See, here's the thing. It seems like it's a good idea.
Yeah, it does.
Right? I know. I know. It seems like, but
food.
But the problem is... This is, by the way, I haven't dated any of these people.
So we may never, you may not know.
No, I'm probably I'm best. The worst. But no, I always thought after watching Hell's Kitchen a lot that there was the cultivation of anger in a kitchen, in like a hot kitchen, and that how does a person not sort of bring that home when
maybe they could get it all out of their system at
but then you see them at like 4 a.m and you know they whatever
they have
like
weird hours.
I don't know, listen, this is I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know that you are on a podcast called Unqualified.
But right? I still feel like I'm learning. I never thought about a chef as a like a
as a
partner.
Fiery temper.
Yeah.
No, but they're, you know, they're in like it's high pressure and they're sweating and like everyone's mad at each other and you know, whatever.
What about like restaurant owners fine? Like you don't have to be a chef, but if you own the restaurant and you just show up and
I think too much ego. Listen, I have a really big ego. I'm sorry, Logan. On the first date, he tells you, it's really cool you were named after a dude.
Oh. Oh my God, I wonder if anybody said that to me. God, I mean, it's not a deal breaker necessarily.
We had a big debate about this before you came.
We talked about this for 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, because we didn't know, like, if the angle was, like, is this guy attempting to be charming, but it doesn't come off well?
Right. If like, he's trying to be flirty,
is it like
you
a little bit of a foot and mouth situation? We didn't know.
I mean, I guess I have had people say that to me, and I think it's, I mean, it's an acknowledgement that I'm a woman with a name that can be unisex, so I guess it's cool. But
it's a fucking awesome name, by the way.
It would depend on like if he opened with that and what the tone was. Like that, I do think that it could be weird.
Would it be better if he said something like, you know, my like best friend from childhood was named Logan, and I've never like, it's cool that. You're a girl. I don't know. Like
I've had people say that though. I've had people say I've never met a girl, Logan. I'm not offended by it. I'm never offended by that.
I always just wonder, like the attempt at small talk, like the awkward small,
on a
like
first date.
Well, and the assumption that a guy might have, like what might spark your attention, or you know, or
maybe they want to see if it'll get a rise out of me. Maybe they want to see like what I'm like when I'm feisty. Which is,
and would you like that though?
If they want to see the side of me getting a little crazy, then that's on them. But, by the way, Logan is on the top 10 list of boy names for 2017.
Anna isn't.
No, it was not.
No.
A list of top 10 boy names.
My parents.
But Anna's a good name. It just wasn't on the top 10 list of the boy names. Just to be clear.
His dad hits on you the first time he meets you.
Oh my God, I heard his dad hits and I was like, hell no. Wait, okay. His dad hits on me.
Yeah.
Where are we finding these guys?
Well, it's his dad though. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you forgive?
What kind of hit? Like,
he kind of like, he like looks you up and down and he's like, you know, oh, you look good, Logan.
Oh my God, I will be, well here, the truth of the matter is it would possibly be a deal breaker for the son because I may have to lay into the dad. Then I may have to like cuss the dad out and be like, what the hell?
Oh, I see. Oh, maybe. That's a twist that we weren't anticipating.
Then I may like have the dad in like a chokehold, like, I'm a human being, don't treat me like a piece of meat. He's like in my elbows.
And then let's say the guy is like, hey, I'm sorry about that.
Aw.
I know it's kind of sweet.
Wait, why is his dad there?
You guys are at a brunch for female empowerment. Eating Egg Benedict.
Okay, of course. That's why he's there. I mean, it really would depend on like how someone hit on me too. Like sometimes a little flirtation's not always a bad thing. But if it was aggressive and I felt like uncomfortable, I mean, there's a fine line. So
okay, what if you're at a restaurant, it's first date, you notice that your date like tips 25% and maybe you say something like, that's nice or whatever. And he says, well, you know, hashtag me too.
Shut up. What the hell? I'd probably like throw, well, no, I drink, you don't waste wine. I throw the rest of my water in his face.
I like your priorities, Lauren.
Oh my gosh.
Or, but what if he's like he's completely baffled by your anger.
And the fact that he's covered in water.
Yeah, if he's like, I thought that, I mean, you're a strong, powerful feminist. Like, I thought that I was, you know, helping the cause.
Good effort. It was nice to have dinner with you. I'll see you never. Like, I would just not into it.
He's like, I don't have any sisters, though. I don't know. Like, I've never, I'm an only child. That is obvious.
Mr. Me Too. That's very obvious.
My mom died when I was 3.
It happens.
Oh, Logan, you're harsh.
I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. No. Bless his heart.
Oh. Okay, so you have a great first date. On the second date, he invites you to a football game with his parents.
I like football. I love football, actually.
So, but the parents...
Is it a free game?
...part you're cool with?
I mean, maybe they have, like, season tickets. Maybe they're, like... Fans?
This was a completely different angle than we thought.
Oh, like, this is also probably why I'm, like, single, so maybe I'm not the best person.
No. Because we were thinking, like, is it awkward for, like, on a second date, I meet
his parents?
Parents, yeah.
Maybe I'm, like, really flattered. Maybe he's like, this girl is awesome. But I do, also, I get the angle where it's like, I don't know if I should be meeting your parents, like, right now. You know, like, let's actually just get to know each other. This could be weird if it doesn't work out. And then your parents are like, what happened to that gorgeous, talented, smart, funny, ambitious girl that you brought to the Falcons game? And then you have to explain yourself.
He's the hashtag me too, dude.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, I'm going to fuck with his, like, I'm going to fuck with his whole fucking life now.
Yeah. Wait, so his mom's not there.
I'm going to make his parents fall in love with me.
Dad, just dad. Or a stepmom. It's a stepmom.
All right. Well, should we take 5 minutes?
You want to do a quick break?
Let's
do a pee break.
Seconds.
And then,
is that all right?
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. And then we'll do 2 calls. And then we'll be done.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We're going to call Megan first, and Megan is here in LA, and she's 25.
Hello, this is Megan.
Hey, Megan, it's Sim. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Anna.
Hey, thanks so much for doing this. You're so kind to do this. I so appreciate it.
I'm really excited to be able to talk to you guys.
And we're here with Logan Browning.
Hi, Megan.
And she's from Dear White People, and she's amazing.
Hi.
I'm also a relationship expert.
We should mention that Dear White People, season 2 is out now.
It's Yeah, if you're bored, Megan, if you're like needing some time alone or with somebody else, you can binge Dear White People on Netflix.
And it's an awesome show.
Thank you.
Megan, tell us what's going on with you.
Yeah, so I'm with my boyfriend of almost 2 years and we live together right now. He is a student, so he was talking, we knew he was planning on studying abroad, and he had told me originally that he thought when he studied abroad that we were going to go on a break, And I thought about it for a long time and tried to gather myself up and figure out what I wanted from this. And I brought to him and I told him that I didn't want us to go on a break, that I figured there were so many other options because of social media and how we could keep in contact, that we should try and work through it and stay together. And then I just had a few questions to him, and I asked him that I wanted to make sure that he saw the same future that I saw with him. And he then told me that he doesn't see a future with us, and that he didn't this whole time, and he hadn't told me. But that when we finished that conversation, he finished it saying, like, we should stay together now. But it was just really confusing. It made me, like, really sad because I felt, like, completely blindsided by that information that I didn't know for this, you know, this really long period of time. And I'm just confused now as to, like, what we're doing. I mean, we live together, so it makes it really hard just to, like, break up, I guess. But I've been trying to figure out, like, what to do and how to sort out my emotions ever since this.
Wait, so Megan, I have a gazillion questions. So he wanted to study abroad while you guys were living together?
Yeah. It was, like, planned a little bit further in the future, so, like, it was going to be past our original lease. That's why we ended up having to have these conversations, because our lease was coming up and we needed to figure out what to do.
Where did he want to go?
He was talking about, like, Switzerland or something along those lines. But in my opinion, it was a place where, like, I'm a bartender, so, like, I could pick up and bartend anywhere. And I was willing to, like, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to go with him.
So did he want to go alone, though?
Like, yeah, it seemed like he wanted to go alone.
So he wants to, like, escape. Do you mind telling us what he does? You don't have to if you don't want to, but it does.
He's just a student. He's a student veteran, so he doesn't have to work. He's just going to school.
And how does he get support? Like, do you financially support him?
No, we're pretty much equal in the apartment because he has the GI Bill that kind of covers that stuff. So we're both financially independent.
So, you know what's tough, I think, and there, I have more questions to ask, but what I think what's really tough is once, at least in my experience, once there's been kind of a major devastation and the realization that two people are not on the same page and one of them tries to, like, that heartbreak, it feels like, I don't know, I always used to think of it as, like, you know how there's a tiny grain of sand and that's how a pearl is made? Like, you're slowly sort of building up this shield in your heart. And, like, and that's why I think a lot of breakups take forever. It's like, you know, you, like, the patterns of, like, you know, you break up,
yeah,
and then you get back together. Because it sounds to me like, Megan, you are in a little bit of pain, and I don't want you to take him back only to revisit sort of his desire for escape again.
And what about the living situation?
Well, that is a thing.
You're together right now, right?
Yeah, we're together right now. Yeah, we are.
What? You guys are sleeping together as well, and you guys are being physical?
Yeah, and that was one of the other things, too, that's been weird, because since we had this conversation, like, he's been more physically affectionate, and he's been, it seems, more into the relationship than he ever was before. But I don't know if I can have my heart in a situation where he doesn't see us ending up together.
Well, do you think that he values you in the way that you want to be valued? Like, he may be more affectionate now, but is it enough?
No, I mean, it just masks everything. It kind of makes it seem like we're both pretending like nothing is wrong, and like nothing, like we're pretending like he's never said anything. And so in that aspect, everything has been great because, like, day to day, we've been, you know, great with each other, and we've been able to hang out together and do things together. But I just feel like there's, like, a time clock now on us.
Do you think that there's like this is a phase that he's going through where he eventually will come around to the fact that you guys can be together forever? Is that something? I mean, because I know that's what you want deep down. But do you think that you're hanging in there because maybe one day you feel like he might come around? Or you think that are you convinced that because he told you that, you know, he doesn't see a future, that there will be no future?
He's pretty stubborn. And like when he says something like that, he wouldn't say it if he was maybe thinking it was a possibility. He would only say it if it was for sure. So as much as like I want to pretend that, you know, everything is fine and that we're going to, you know, he might come around, like I just from knowing him, like he wouldn't have said that to me if it wasn't certain of how he feels.
Megan, is he your age too as well?
Yeah, I'm 25 and he's 26.
So here's the thing. A lot of people, it takes you know, a bit of time, I think, for people to not to say exactly what they're feeling in a moment. I mean, I stick my foot in my mouth all the time. But
me too.
But I don't think that I don't think that you should be with this person out of like routine or the lease, because this, you know, like some scars you can deal with. Maybe this is one of those. I think you're the only one who can sort of answer that. But it is something that you won't forget. And maybe that's okay. Like maybe through his actions, he will prove to you that that he loves you more than anything. I don't think though that you know, you should live with any kind of pain. And I'm so sorry that that he said that to you, and now you're sort of living with it. To me, like wanting to study abroad, like at age, you know, 26 or whatever, 25 or however old he was when he said that, is him looking to find a meaning in life that he's not feeling, and that doesn't have anything to do with you. And unfortunately, that's not something that I think you can ever fix.
This is so hard because she doesn't want to leave the relationship. And I think he is also feeling a little stuck right now, because I don't think he wants to be in. I think they're both in this very tough position because he knows eventually that he doesn't want to be with her long term. And she's stuck because she's hoping that she's holding out hope.
Sorry, Sam, I didn't mean to cut you off. But I will.
Okay. Go for it. Please.
But also there is like when you work really hard, there is like the ease of a relationship that almost like breaking up feels like such a complication that you can't even quite tell it. Like that in and of itself feels so overwhelmingly exhaustive. I don't know. That kept me in relationships in the past, like,
and there's a lot of that right now. There's a lot of that going on, yeah. Where it is going to be a pain and a struggle to kind of tie up any loose ends. This is, you know, when you're living together with someone, especially if you've been together for as long as they've been together, this is going to get tougher and tougher for her right now. And the sooner that you guys break up, it's probably easier because you're prolonging the inevitable right now, which is just going to be harder on you, Megan.
Would you feel comfortable expressing all of this to him, or would you not? And the reason why I ask that is because I've felt powerless in relationships in the past where I felt a little bit conditioned in the power dynamic. Would you feel comfortable saying this to him? Like, I'm not happy and I don't feel valued. And I just don't think that the love of your life should be making you feel this miserable and sad.
That's what I hate, because I don't want Megan to feel like this at all. I want her to be valued, like you said, and be with someone that really just wants to be with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm a physical like person. So like I need to write things down before I bring them to somebody. And I've been able to do that with a couple of things, but whenever I bring it to him in person, I get like really emotional, and I have been able to express like that I've been heartbroken by him, but that's pretty much it so far.
Megan, people treat you how you allow them to treat you. And I feel like you're staying in a situation out of fear, and I don't think that you're a young woman who exists and in that space of fear, you sound like a really strong young woman to me. I believe you should know your worth. And if you were to step away from this relationship and step away from this living situation, you might give him an opportunity to show you how much he cares, if that's the case. And if not, then don't be afraid to allow somebody else into your life. 25 is so young. Like, don't be afraid, you know? There are so many other people and there's so much potential for you, and you might be missing it because you're stuck, and you almost have signed a contract by allowing this person to like say this thing to you and you haven't addressed it. You've signed a contract by pleading the fifth.
What do you guys think about this? Like, if Megan said, hey, I've been thinking about it, been talking to some friends, I think that you should study abroad.
Hey, I'm with that.
Like, I think you should go to Switzerland, and it's like, it's a beautiful country from what I hear.
I actually really support that.
You know what I mean? Like that would be,
she's initiating the breakup then, is what she's doing.
Right. But yeah. And I know that, Megan, that would be, I know, because you love him, but that, I don't know, at least his reaction would be interesting. And I want to advocate for honesty. Like, but I also think that that's a way out of like the lease and the roommate situation. And because I think, Megan, too, you've already digested the heartbreak. And even if he is like, whatever, bringing you roses every day and asks you to marry him, it's left an imprint on you and always will. And so if you suggest something like that, like, I've thought about it a lot and I think you should study abroad, I'm not sure you're happy here, and sort of leave it at that, then his reaction will either be, it'll just be very telling, because if he gets panicked and like, you know, and is like, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm so sorry. I don't want to go anywhere without you. I want to experience this together. Like, his reaction will just inform you, I think, of how you should proceed. Right? Do you think? Is that?
Yeah. I think so, because I just don't like the fact they are having this great physical relationship right now, and they are being, you know, sweet to each other. I don't like that, because I think it just rings false, especially from his end. And I don't like that he's bringing her into this. So the sooner this happens, the better, because 2, 3, 4 years down the road, Megan's just going to think to herself, I wish I cut the cord a lot sooner. Why did he keep me in his grasp for this long?
Of course, I want to tell Megan, like, you know, to break up with him. But you and I, like, we all know how hard it is when somebody tells you that. It's such easy advice.
Of course. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I'm looking down the road. And I'm just thinking, because I know how hard it is to get out of a situation
right. And it's hard when almost like your feelings of rejection almost dom, like, convince your brain that you're more in love than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know what I'm saying?
I mean, I also support him traveling abroad in general. I love traveling abroad. Studying abroad. I think it could be a great thing for him. Who knows? Maybe he goes abroad, lives this life, comes back, and then you guys are like, we actually are meant to be together.
Or Megan finds like some hottie.
Yeah. That she would have never
at
met.
The restaurant. And is suddenly like, yeah,
I like that scenario.
Let's get it on.
Yes. Well, that scenario will happen sooner if the process is started sooner.
Megan, and I always, we talk to, you know, a lot of our dear, dear callers that are willing to share their experiences that so many people can relate to, including yours. And it feels so easy to say, like, oh my God, break up with him. But I know also how hard it is. And what I think you really need to focus on is your level of happiness and how good he makes you feel.
Which is confusing right now, because he is making her feel good, which is why it's so confusing for her.
Yeah.
Megan, you still called us, which is so amazing of you. But if she was feeling like completely comfortable and satisfied like completely secure, Megan, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but I imagine that you wouldn't have called us. Like, this is a wound that hasn't healed. I don't know if, I think that's something that only you can sort of figure out, but it is telling that you know, I've convinced myself that that I've been really happy in relationships. It's just something to think about. Will you please keep us updated?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, definitely.
And let us know, and please be strong and know that you should be, you know, valued just, you know, the way, and be able to give love the way you want to too, you know?
Megan, thank you so much.
I love you, Megan. Thanks
so much. Thank
you,
Anna. Thank you.
Good luck.
It was so nice to talk to you all. Thank you so much.
I love you. I hope we were of some... Oh, God, we weren't helpful.
Hang in there, Megan. This is going to work out. It's going to work out for the best. Just hang in there.
And please, please be in touch, Megan.
I will. Thank you. Love you guys.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So sweet.
Tough. Tough one.
So tough,
tough one.
Because
he's making her... This is a little manipulative when a guy... Because I feel like he's having his cake and eating it too in a way.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to ask more about the finance stuff, because I don't know if, and Megan sounded blue, and I just feel like I've been there, like the half breakup, and then suddenly it's like, and it's such a power play on his part.
Yeah,
for sure.
Completely. This is why I'm a little upset about this, because I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, he knows she's there to stay because he knows how to keep her there even after he's expressed his long-term intent. It's really mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to call Malia. Malia, she's in San Francisco. We've bumped her 4 times.
Oh, God.
So we finally got her on the show.
Malia, oh, God.
I hope she picks up.
I hope it's Malia Obama. Oh.
But we first have to start off with apologies, profuse apologies, Anna.
Yes.
Hello?
Malia, it's Sim. Hi. You probably hate me right now.
Oh, Malia.
Hey, I'm doing awesome now. How are you?
Now, because we've bumped you 5 times or 4 times.
Oh, my God. Malia, I am so sorry.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. This is, like, seriously so awesome. I'm, like, slightly freaking out right now. This is awesome.
You're so sweet. I feel like everyone... God, it's because of my, like, rambling monologues that... But thank you so much for doing this. And you're here with Logan Browning.
Hey, Malia. I love your name. Your name is so cool.
But thank you so much for sticking with us and being a part of this podcast.
Thank you. I mean, I really appreciate, you guys having me on. This is great. I think it's an awesome thing that a lot of listeners will definitely enjoy hearing about.
Malia, tell us, what do you want help?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so really quick backstory on me is I was actually a competitive dancer my entire life. It's something, you know, my parents put me in when I was really little and kind of were told about my potential and they saw how much I loved it. So it's something I've always stuck with. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty good at it. Every kind of dance team I tried out for, I made, won lots of competitions and awards and stuff like that. When I went off to college, I was the only freshman who made it onto my dance company at school. So it's always been something that I've been really good at and passionate about. I've always been very humble about it, though. Never the kind of person to be like, I'm the best dancer around. Like, that's just not me at all. I just do it because I love it. I'm good at it. It's fun. So there was always kind of a part of me that I always wanted to try out for a professional dance team. So either, you know, with the NBA and NFL. And this year I got kind of convinced by a few people to, you know, go ahead and try it. I'm in good shape. Definitely the dancing ability was still there. So I went ahead for it, you know, trained, went to an audition and made it past the first round and then actually got cut before finals. And it hurt. It sucked really bad. it was more kind of frustration because unfortunately in this kind of professional dance world, a lot of it is based more on looks and not necessarily who is the best
performer or dancer or who's going to be, you know, the best role model for the team itself. It's a lot of it is based off of, you know, your body and your hair and that kind of stuff. So my question for you guys is, how have you handled denial and rejection in Hollywood over the years? Obviously, you guys are like very successful now, like Unqualified is awesome. But I'm sure there's been a time where you thought you'd be maybe perfect for a role or part and then didn't end up getting it. And this is something I really want to keep doing, but I don't want to keep getting rejected year after year. You know, some people keep trying out for these professional dance teams for like 9 years in a row, and I just can't do that. That's just not who I am. And so I kind of really need some motivation of how to keep going in something like this when you've already been rejected.
Malia, here's the thing. You can. I feel like I've been rejected over 600 times, probably more. Mm-hmm. And for all different kinds of reasons, you know, not hot enough, like not blonde enough, not tall enough, you know, like, oh, one time, not enough soul, not talented enough. Anytime you want to pursue a passion, you are putting yourself in a very vulnerable position, and it's and you kind of have to. I love it that you asked this though, because it's something that you, I don't know if you ever get numb to it, but you definitely get a little bit more adjusted to it, right, Logan? Absolutely. Like, what do you think?
You learn that that just wasn't for you, and that. That special thing for you is coming. You adjust.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, everyone also has their own agenda in like casting and I'm sure in, you know, in placing team members. It sometimes, most of the time, feels like it has nothing to do with talent. But this is something that you love, and I want you to keep pursuing it. And in any way.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is something I love. It's just so hard after, you know, doing this for something. You know, it's almost like when you're applying for like colleges or something, or even applying for new jobs. It's like, you know, you've done all this work. You've done well. You've obviously gotten good grades and everything. And all of a sudden you get a rejection letter maybe, or, you know, just something, especially because I know like I'm good enough, but you never know if it's like the looks that they're not wanting. And it's kind of hard to come back from that for something that I've never really experienced the denial, like in this kind of environment, I guess. Like I've obviously had a lot of, you know, hard troubles in other situations, but never really dance. It's just always something kind of that I loved and was good at. So I don't know. It's a little different, but definitely something I love and want to continue with. It just was getting up that motivation and confidence, because I feel like my confidence, my ability just went down a lot after.
I know. Yeah. It fucking sucks. It sucks to hear like when you feel like you did a really good job and that it feels like there's a frivolous reason that you didn't get, you know, the job of your dreams. But I will say that if it's something that you love, and I would just keep pursuing it. And maybe our listeners can help give us feedback in other ways as well, to like, if you want to dance and perform, maybe there's other avenues. I don't know anything. I'm the worst dancer. But maybe there's other avenues that can help like satisfy your creative longing for your art, you know?
You know, and anything creative. For example, I'm going to have a kid right now, and 4 months. And
is that creative for you, Sim?
It's creative.
Would love
it. Is pretty
that.
Creative for me. But if and I was talking to Amy about this,
yeah.
If our son wanted to be an actor, I would discourage it for a long time.
You would?
As a kid, definitely.
Really?
I would wait for him to get a little bit older, but because I just know how it's so subjective, and I was on the other side when I produced movies, that I know that I'm not rejecting actors. I'm using actors now because that's all I know. I'm not rejecting actors because of their talent. I'm rejecting them because they're not right for the role for whatever reason, or the director doesn't feel that they're right for the role for whatever reason. And I know how hard it would be for people to just be rejected all the time. You both have been rejected more times than you've been accepted, which is, well, I don't know about Logan.
It's true.
And then for dance, I'm sure for dance, it's like athletics, where the margin for error is so small. And I couldn't tell, like, if I'm judging a dance competition, I couldn't tell if they're doing something that's amazing. I'm sure they're all going to be amazing for me. So who am I to judge if that person is better than someone else who's been training their entire life for that same exact goal? You know what I mean? It's so hard that...
You're saying to Malia, don't take it personally.
Well, I mean, don't take it personally, but also take it personally. Because they are, they're rejecting you. Like, they're rejecting you.
But from the little that I know about like the professional sports dance world is that there's also a whole other thing that you have to subscribe to.
I know about this world.
Right.
You do?
I did a show for 4 years that was about a professional dance team. So I worked with all of these professional dancers. I had to learn. I trained for 8 months to learn how to dance.
And there's also a whole other criteria, right? Like,
yep.
It's like, don't flirt, like, or what, mm-hmm. be politically correct. Like, there's a mm-hmm. whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And like,
I'm with what you started to say originally, Anna, which is to persevere. I really think, because I know exactly the process that you went through in terms of your audition, and you go through the first round, and also it's like you're meeting all these girls, you're becoming friends with these girls, like you're all like in it together. You see the ones you think are going to make it, you see the ones you think aren't going to make it, you assume you're with the ones who are going to make it, and then you don't. Like, there's so much of that social politicking, and I really would say to go again. Like, I think you're letting your ego get in the way of your potential success with that team, and I really would say just go again, because what you don't know, or what you may know, is that when you go back, they see that. That's a part of, you know, you may not know which women were there before who've been trying for 3 years, and that's why they got in that year. You know, they see you come back and they go, oh, she really wants this.
Yeah.
We're giving it to her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's great. That's true. There's so much, just like whatever, in theater, the undercurrent of politics that a new person doesn't understand has little to do with talent ability at some point. And so I think if you've been sort of stung and rejected once, I hope that you sort of embrace like a little bit of like a fuck it feeling. Like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I know. That's what I was really hoping for. I was like, well, if I don't, you know, make this, I hope like I just kind of have that fire to keep going. But I didn't realize how like hurtful it would be, because especially because I knew that I was actually
good.
Better than a lot of those dancers. Yeah. And, you know, maybe it was because, I don't know, my hair didn't look good that day, or my abs weren't on point or something. So it's just like kind of that mentality thing that now I have to think about, you know, well, I shouldn't think of that. I really need to focus on the fact that I just need to go there and do the best I can possibly give them. And then hopefully make a team.
Just to bring it back to me, Malia, because you know I love
it's
to
always
do that.
About you.
But I was a freshman in college, and I had been acting for a while in Seattle, and I joined the drama department, and I was going to major in drama. But halfway through my freshman year, I wasn't getting good grades in drama. Like, I wasn't getting recognized. Like, I felt better than some of my fellow students. And I also cleared, like, I had an ego because I knew that I had done a lot more than, you know, than the other students. And so I had this thing where I had this moment where I was like, well, maybe I'm just completely delusional and I'm not good. So then I dropped out of the drama program, decided to like stop acting, and I would just do tiny little voiceover gigs or whatever for a little extra cash now and again. And I thought I was going to be a novelist, which is also a completely delusional idea. But eventually, like, I came back around to acting because I thought, why not? Am I going to regret it if I don't give it a shot? Like, while I don't have a family, my parents gave me the Honda Accord. Well, I had to buy it off of them.
Whoa, tough parents.
No kidding. But point being is that I think that I'm glad that something made me come back around and that I wasn't discouraged by the grumpy grad student teachers. That I just think that perseverance always has to be a part of the art in your dream.
And you're better than so many of them, you said yourself. So
yeah, they suck.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, it's like hard because like, even though I'm like a competitive person by nature. I've never like really, I don't really like exude that because I'm such like a friendly person. Like I'm never just one to be like, oh, I'm better than you. You know, like I can beat out all these girls just because
good.
It just kind of came naturally.
And please, please, please stay that way because it's a happier place of being for your own soul and heart. But do keep trying and then, you know, make a YouTube series out of it. And it could be, you know, like Malia auditions, you know, for the 22nd time.
Malia moves.
And then upon the 22nd time, you're going to move to Los Angeles and cheer for us while we podcast, which would be incredible. But no, but truly, like, I'm rejection is, it just sucks. But I think that a lot of people think that actors kind of come out of nowhere, like they just hit their lucky break. But for the most part, you know, 99% of us have been auditioning and getting rejected for years. But pursue your dreams.
Keep shaking that thing,
girl. I love you, Malia.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Like, you guys are amazing. I'm not going to say fuck you, Sim, because I actually really like them. And I like them. You're really good.
Fuck you, Malia.
I love you all.
Hey, will you please keep us posted? I feel like we have a lot of listeners that want to, you know, pursue their dreams. And so I think
Malia is going to inspire a lot of people. I believe that.
I do, too. I love you. Thank you.
Thanks, Malia.
I love you guys too. Thank you so much again. This has been great. I really appreciate it.
We're so sorry about bumping you. We're so happy that you're on finally.
I know. You're the best.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot. Like it's already a step towards the right direction. So this has been great.
Oh, good. All right. Please, please, please keep us posted.
Thanks, Malia.
I will. Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So wait, well, before you take your headphones off, let's say bye to her.
Oh.
Say bye to Logan before
I was just going to say that, like...
Let's end the show properly.
If Malia can handle getting rejected by us... We're not rejected.
Yeah, she got bumped four times.
Yeah, she got bumped four times.
I know, but I guess it's probably not that big of a deal to her.
Yeah, exactly.
As, like, really living her dream. Logan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're amazing.
This is cool.
Go see Dear White People, or not go see. Put on Netflix.
Go see it in your living room.
Yeah, go see it in your living room.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is really cool.
Thank you so much for being here.